The colorful story of Jesus' appearance to two disciples on the road to Emmaus answers the question of how Jesus is to be recognized among us. Here, he is revealed through the scriptures and in the breaking of the bread. Our gospel reading this morning comes from Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning with the 13th verse. Now on that day, when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two disciples were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "Well, the things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all of the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were open and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, it is indeed a blessing to be able to gather together, and we gather at our family table area again. I hope that for many of you, this has become a piece that is in your homes, a spot where you can set aside a candle and a Bible, a cross and a bowl of water, a place where you can gather together, whether you live alone, or if there are a couple of people that are living in your household, a place to gather, to read some scripture, to pray, to ponder together things of life and faith. So this week, I recorded a video message for the congregation. I try to do that every Friday to give an update as to what's going on here. We'll also post it through email and on the website tomorrow. But there's a question that I ask in the midst of that. And I would love it if you would take a moment or two to ponder this question and think about responding. In these days of social distancing and wearing masks and being separated from people, what is it that you're grieving? What do you miss? If we were to put it in terms of scripture or faith, what do you lament? I would love it if you could ponder that, maybe talk about it, and then shoot me an email, narum@trinitybismarck.com. narum@trinitybismarck.com. I want to put together a list of those things, and we'll share that so that we can be praying for those things that we lament and grieve. Part of the reason that we do that is it's an act of faith to grab hold and openly name before God those things that are causing grief upon our hearts. And in the midst of this, what is it that we are missing and grieving? There's a second piece that I'd invite you to think about as well. What impact has all of this had on your faith life? What impact has all of this had on your faith life? It would be really interesting to have people kind of hold on to that question, ruminate on it, talk about it as a family. And if you'd think about it, sit down and write a little reflection. Is there a certain bit of scripture that's floating through your mind more than normal these days? Or if you were to align these days with a scripture story, what would it be? I'd love to hear your thoughts. For some people, they may feel more distant from God. For others, this may have allowed a space of slowing down so that they can actually think more about life and faith and God's connections there. Love to hear from you at narum@trinitybismarck.com. You don't need to be a member. You don't need to have ever worshiped here physically in this space to answer those questions. We know that we've got some folks that are joining us who are who may be far away and may have never stepped foot in this space. Amen. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior Jesus the Christ. What you see and what you notice matters. Let me say that again. What you see and what you notice really matters. Let me tell you a story. Last Sunday after worship in the afternoon, it was a little bit windy, but Jan and I needed to get out and stretch our legs, so we headed to Harmon Lake. If you've never been to Harmon Lake, it is a man-made lake just north and a little bit west of Mandan. Beautiful place. It has a boat ramp. It has a beautiful and well-maintained beach area. It's got some camping pads, but for our purposes, it also has some hiking and biking trails. I'm a kid of the prairie, and there are just times where I need to get out and walk the land. And so it was a gift to be out on a sunny but a bit breezy Sunday afternoon walking the prairie, walking through the ravines and up and over and around knobs and through brush thickets. As we were walking along at one point, I said to Jan, I'm going to go up this knob. And I started up. The matted grass was thick. There were boulders that were sticking out here and there. I had to lean forward pretty good to make my way up. Now, I had a thought in mind. I was looking for the true harbinger of spring. Where are the crocuses? And as I scanned the earth as I was going up, and when I got to the top, I looked around. I couldn't see anything. Not even a withered stem. So I made my way back to the trail, and Jan and I continued walking. After a bit, she said to me, let's try to go up to a high spot. And so we went off the trail, followed a game trail, and went up to what I'm going to guess is probably the highest spot in this county park. The grass was heavy from last year and all matted over. There was an area of buckbrush off to the right of where we were. I scanned the landscape and I couldn't see anything. Nothing but dead grass, buckbrush, no crocuses. But all of a sudden, off to my right, I heard Jan. Here's some. Oh, wow, here's a couple more. Found another one. You see, I had been scanning the prairie, quickly looking, expecting that they would just burst forth in all of their glory. But instead, they were tucked away inside that prairie grass. You had to get down, you had to look, and then their wispy purple beauty would just burst forth. What you notice, what you look for, matters. So this day we are on a journey with Jesus and two men. They are leaving Jerusalem. They are headed for Emmaus. They set out alone. And the vision that I have in my mind of two is of two men who are dejected. They are grieving. They are lost. I can see them as having slumped shoulders. I see them with head down and not doing a whole lot of anything, but scuffing along slowly on their way out of Jerusalem. And then Jesus shows up. They don't recognize him, though. And he says to them, "What are you talking about on the way? Are you the only one who doesn't know what's been going on in Jerusalem? We had hoped." That is a line of incredible despair. We had hoped that he was the one. They had hoped that he was the Messiah, the one that had been spoken of by the prophets of old, that God would send one to free God's people again. They had hoped, but their hopes were dashed. With these two new friends, Jesus looks at them and says, "Oh, how slow of heart you are." And he begins to teach them. And as they continue on their way, he reveals to them all about himself. The words that were spoken through the prophets all of those centuries and centuries ago, these words about the one who was to come. It gets close to evening. They come to a spot to stop. They convince Jesus to stay there. All of a sudden, he sits with them, takes bread, and breaks it. Now, for me, my mind immediately jots off to Monday, Thursday, that night that Jesus gathered his disciples, broke bread. "This is my body given for you," he said to them. And in that moment, the bread is broken for you, and he's revealed. It is an aha moment. What we see, what we notice makes a difference. And in that moment, Jesus vanishes. These two immediately jump up and they run back to Jerusalem because they want to tell what they have seen. What you see, what you notice, makes a difference. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we know the facts of the story. We know all about the death, the resurrection. We know with our heads, but the call is that that would be pushed to our hearts so that our hearts too would be burning, so that we would be ready to tell. Think about the witness of Scripture. Luke, from the very beginning, in chapter 1, the very first verses, Luke says, "Theophilus, I'm writing this story to you so that you may know the truth about what you've been instructed on." We continue through Luke and we see Elizabeth and Mary. Mary sings this incredible song, an encounter with Gabriel, a promise that she'll have a child, angels singing to shepherds, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." We continue through Scripture and we see this Jesus who feeds 5,000. He cures those who are sick. He opens the eyes of the blind. He confronts people where they are to help them understand who this Messiah is to be. One day, Jesus is sitting with a group of people eating with them. And some religious folks kind of scoff at him and say, "Look at that, he eats with sinners and tax collectors." And to that line, Jesus tells three stories. The story of one who turns his back on 99 sheep to go find one lost one, and says, when that one is found, there is more joy in heaven. Tells the story of a widow who sweeps her house out looking for a coin. Tells the story of the prodigal son lost, who comes back to his father. Jesus tells story after story so that we can encounter the grace of the living God. And when we try to figure out who is worthy of this grace, Jesus tells another story. It's the story that comes about as Jesus is asked, "So how do I inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "Love God, love your neighbor." And the religious leader says, "So who's my neighbor?" And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Tells the story of one who has been beaten, bruised, bloodied, left beside the road, and one who comes to care for him is a Samaritan. Now, what you and I don't understand in this day is a Samaritan, well, think of the most hated person in your heart. That's the Samaritan. That's the hero of the story. Who is my neighbor? Those who show mercy. And who's the hero? One that we might not even have mercy toward. What you see, what you notice, makes a difference. On the road from Emmaus, Jesus was there the entire time. Cleopas and his friend just couldn't see it. In the midst of all that's happening in our world right now, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is most certainly present to you. A gift of grace, not dependent on your worthiness or on your actions or on what you say, but Jesus comes into our midst because God has nothing but deep love and desire to be with this world. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may it be that your heart would burn in such a way that the knowledge of Jesus would not just be in your head, it would be in your heart, and you would burst forth in whatever social distancing way you possibly can to proclaim the risen one. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.